1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. has its first medal of the Olympics. Cassidy Cook and Sarah Bacon won silver in the 3-meter springboard synchronized diving competition. First Lady Jill Biden's led the U.S. delegation to Paris during an event at the home of the U.S. ambassador to France today. The First Lady said,
"Last night was just, it was spectacular. The rain did not dampen our spirits."
Referring to the opening ceremony, but travel in France still affected by coordinated arson attacks Friday on high-speed rail lines. The Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of a part of Gaza designated a humanitarian zone, saying it's planning an operation in the area against Hamas. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met Friday with former President Trump in Florida, one day after he met with President Biden. And crews in Northern California still fighting the Cook Fire, more than 300,000 acres in size. This is ABC News. One of the co-founders of the notorious Sinaloa drug cartel is in U.S. custody. Ismael Zambada arrested Friday along with the son of the notorious drug lord known as El Chapo. ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has details.
According to sources familiar with the investigation, Zambada was lured on a trip he thought was to inspect airfields in northern Mexico. But it turned out to be a flight to an airstrip inside the U.S. near El Paso. Agents of Homeland Security Investigations and the FBI were there to arrest him when he landed. We've learned that El Chapo's son was secretly flown to Chicago. His status unclear.
Zambada appeared in court Friday and pleaded not guilty. Two former FBI officials settled their lawsuits with the Justice Department, claiming it violated their privacy rights by leaking text messages they sent one another disparaging former President Trump. Peter Strzok settled for $1.2 million. I'm Brian Clark. ABC News.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. For more information, visit wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The president ends his reelection campaign.
And the Civic Media team led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, "I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down."
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vice President Kamala Harris put the spotlight on student loan forgiveness at the recent American Federation of Teachers conference. Here's Danielle Smith.
The Biden administration has canceled over $62 billion in federal student debt for more than 871,000 public service workers nationwide, including teachers. Presidential candidate Kamala Harris spoke at the conference. She told them the administration sees a future with affordable health care, affordable child care, and paid leave for all.
We see a future where every student has the support and the resources they need to thrive, and a future where no teacher has to struggle with the burden of student loan debt. So as an example, our administration has forgiven student loan debt for nearly 5 million Americans.
She pointed out that the federal student debt relief plans, including the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, face potential threats due to legal challenges and some resistance from Republicans in Congress. A Pennsylvania recipient of student loan forgiveness introduced Vice President Harris. Brittany Schaub is a special education teacher in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Schaub said she heard about the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or PSLF, but most people who applied for it didn't receive it during the last administration.
The Biden-Harris administration fixed PSLF and made the process easy, so I applied. and later had my student loans forgiven. And now I help my fellow teachers get the debt forgiveness they deserve.
The AFT conference wrapped up Thursday in Houston. I'm Danielle Smith. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, sunshine, mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 68. Partly sunny and back to around 85 for Sunday. An afternoon shower possible. A few showers Sunday night, a low around 70. Partly sunny and 85 Monday with a chance of afternoon storms.
It's 57 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend. We'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Big Pinagigi, thank you to all of our supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Haley, great job yesterday. I just want to say really excited about Kamala and what's happening there with the Democrats pulling it together. And it's a good thing. She's progressive. She's younger. She's, what, 3 years younger than I am.
Younger all that is all that matters.
Well, this would be the first president that's younger than me because Obama was the same age, basically. I think he was born in 61 and so am I. So this would be the first younger president that we'd have. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I know Kamala was out in Milwaukee yesterday in Wisconsin. And I enjoyed watching the clips from that. One of the things that she said was, we're not going backwards. We're not going back. And that's what I like to hear. I also saw this really funny clip of Joe Biden, I think, in a recent speaking thing that he did. He reminded all of us of the orange one and when he advised us to inject bleach into our veins during the COVID pandemic. And President Biden said that he missed and, you know, the bleach must have went to his hair.
Yeah.
So I had a good laugh out of that.
Well, and tonight, too, President Biden is going to be speaking to the country. So that'll be interesting, too, and something that we can look forward to listening to. You know, best wishes. Keep on doing the great things. And maybe before you leave, you can pardon
Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good way to go out.
No doubt. Hey, what else do we got going on? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we got a really cool thing going on tomorrow morning from one of our great sponsors. NAC, Native American Community Clinic, is hosting another wellness breakfast tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 10 to 11 a.m. Yeah, it's a free healthy breakfast and a discussion on health and wellness, and everyone is welcome. Again, that's tomorrow, the 25th, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 10 to 11 a.m. with NAC.
Yeah, they do great stuff in the community, and there's a perfect example right there. What's the show going to be about? I always kid people that we talk to in the and about you as a producer. I'll just go, Haley, what's the show about? 5 minutes before the show, but what's the show about today?
Sure, no worries. We're going to have Anna Negretti back on, who is the community planner with the MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives State Office here in Minnesota. It's the first state office dedicated to this type of work across the country. So this is a really important program and office. MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. This is an epidemic that happens a lot in Indian country, and I feel like a lot just alone in the state of Minnesota. So it's really important that we have this resource, and I'm excited to welcome Anna back on here in the next segment. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about kind of the progress that they've made and since the last time she was on the show, and we'll get into that, and I'm sure talk about those license plates, which I think you still need to get.
Yeah, I do. That's a long story, but yeah, I got to get current. I think I'm at 2022, so it's going to cost me a few bucks to get current before I can get one of those plates, but hopefully nobody heard that. Hey, we also, tomorrow's big happenings, as always, at our favorite Four Sisters Market.
Yeah, our favorite farmers market here in Minnesota. This one's in Minneapolis. The Four Sisters Farmers Market happens at the Powwow Grounds and NACD parking lot. The address is 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's right along the American Indian Cultural Corridor. It's the little yellow building. And it's fun. That's the place to be every Thursday from June through October. They have the farmers market going on from 11 to 3 p.m. And it's fun. They've got a bunch of artisan vendors and local native vendors, as well as food from Powwow Grounds. And Powwow Grounds has their new fry bread factory food truck, which is amazing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, getting back to MMIR, today there's a song called Never Run Out of the Road by Ricky Medlock. And we had Ricky on, didn't we?
We did, yeah. For those of you who don't know Ricky Medlock, he is a member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Ricky is the one with, he's, you know, tan. He's got the long white hair looking kind of guy. And there's this song that he recently did. It's called Never Run Out of Road. And Ricky has Lakota Sioux and Cherokee blood. But all these streams of that song go to support the National MMIR Fund. You can catch that interview with Ricky Medlock back in February of this year's videos on the 28th.
Maybe we should have him on again.
We should. We really should.
Talk to your producer about getting the producer to produce that.
Yeah. Well, I know that Lynyrd Skynyrd's on tour right now, so that might be a little hard. I do know that Ricky is touring with them.
Yes, yes.
They're going to be at Prairie Island.
Yeah, and I know, like, Ricky's a little older than me, and I need my nap, so maybe our show is going on at the same time as his nap before the night show.
The concert, yeah. That's a big thing. I don't know. There's a lot of older bands that, with older artists that are still touring, and I think they put on, a pretty great show still.
Well, I was really surprised. I saw Paul McCartney at Target Field a few years ago, probably more than a few years ago, but I was surprised because I noticed how he did it too. He'd stand and play a few songs and sit behind the piano because literally I couldn't stand, the whole 2 hours.
Yeah.
3 hours commercial, the concert. But I saw kind of how they did it. But yeah. And then we saw just recently Mick Jagger running very fast as an 80-year-old across the stage in my, sister-in-law and brother-in-law were at that concert in New York, and it's just like they were in shock too.
Yeah, I think I saw clips of that on on some social media platform. But yeah, he's up and he's, you know, doing more than just walking. He's running.
Yeah, he's running. He's running. He's running better than me. And I'm, you know, quite a bit younger.
Yeah. You got to stay in good shape if you're, you know, a touring musician.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what else is going on here? And I know, again, what I've heard and you've confirmed, too, is our Gen Z people and younger people have really gotten energized by Kamala's bid for the presidency. And I'll be down at the DNC for at least a few days because it's just before the state fair. So I got to figure out scheduling because we'll be at the state fair for a couple days doing the show live at least. And on Thursday and Friday, and come out and see us and support Native Roots Trading Post.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah, the state fair is coming up, and that'll be a lot of fun. I know we have probably a minute here until our first break. I want to shout out the last segment. We're going to welcome back Angela Two Stars of NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. She is the director of All My Relations Arts Gallery, and we're going to be talking about Jennifer White's upcoming exhibit at AMRA and what that entails, when the guest speaking is, and when that exhibition will be on display.
Wow, they do such great work, and it's so beautiful to go see that artwork from Native Americans across Turtle Island here, right in here in Minneapolis, on every quarterly or every 3 months cyclone. It's beautiful, and we appreciate the you know, Native American Community Development Institute in leading the way here in the Twin Cities.
Always, always. Go check it out.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance, because giving you options is the right thing to do.
Oh, you mean like when I let someone with less groceries go ahead in line? Sure, there's a part of me that thinks, if you only need three things, maybe go to a convenience store next time. And now they're sifting through coupons and my frozen foods are about to be not frozen.
But still, it's the right thing to do. So compare rates with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Anna Negrete, community planner for the Minnesota MMIR State Office, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we're really, really excited and happy to have you back on.
Thanks for having me.
You always got such a nice, beautiful background there. kind of looks like you're out in the country there.
You see kids running by. They're just playing with the frogs. So
Nice. It's all good. Well, really great to see you again. And, you know, last time you were on the show back in February, what's been happening here with the Minnesota State MMIR office, and how much has it grown and what's happening? Let's hear some groovy updates.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. So in February, we were talking about the license plates and they were just being released. I won't bring attention to the fact you haven't ordered them yet, but this is what they look like. This is like a sample plate, but yeah, so these are what the license plate look like, and I just got mine a couple months back, too. It took a while to get ordered, but yeah, the license plates, the specialty plates are now available through DMV, and $25 of your contribution goes to support our state's reward fund board. So the Gagigay-Miigwetch-Ngozi-Wag reward fund board, which will hopefully provide some dollars for rewards on some of our MMIR cases, up to $10,000 per case. That's what we announced. And we'll also go to support things like raising awareness, billboards, flyers that our family need, searches as we engage in searches, all kinds of good things that we hope to do with that, those dollars. So super excited about that.
Yeah. And I will be getting mine, and I already know what I'm going to put in there. As a matter of fact, state representative, or state senator, I should say, she helped me out with writing out Ho-Chunk and how it can come out with the proper amount of number of letters too. I think I'm going to be taking out, what am I going to take out? The U in Chunk?
Is something that like that. We'll figure it out.
But yeah, well, Mary Kunish came up with a great idea. So yeah, everybody check it out. And Haley, you're up next to get your plates too with your new car. I know that
you can
get the plates online, and you can also go down there. And then if you get them personalized, like I'm going to on my whip,
Yeah. They take a little bit longer if you get them personalized, but it's still like great. And I've never had personalized plates before, so I went and splurged on that. But I just, you know, it's a great way to help raise awareness and support the office. So super excited about that. We have lots of things going on at the MMIR, as I was mentioning. The billboard, some of the reward fund dollars can go to billboards, but Clear Channel Communications, they're have done a $0 contract. So I don't know if you guys have been out and about in the Twin Cities, but there's a couple billboards up that are highlighting 8 of our cases altogether for some of our longer term missing relatives. And so that's super exciting. And it's the first time we've had billboards up, and we're just trying to build those relationships to keep awareness going about our relatives and trying to bring them home. Yeah, there they are. You're blurred out, so we can't see it all the way, but.
I like that.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of these plates around our community, and it's always cool to see, like, when I'm not really around the American Indian Cultural Corridor and I'm kind of east suburbs of St. Paul. So I still see those specialized MMI plates around our, you know, our suburban communities. And it's always like, ooh, do I know that person?
Right.
And I try to see if it's a relative or a coworker, but
that's a great story, Haley. I was at a state meeting with Native Americans, and in the parking lot there was one, and I wanted, oh, who's that? It was Shelley Buck, it ended up being.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's, yeah.
That's me, too. I was like, who is that? How do we know them? I want to leave a note, leave a bandana. We got new bandanas coming out, too. I don't know if you guys have seen the new bandanas. We got some new ones out. These new ones have a new color that you know, represent domestic violence. So here's the newest version. It still has our logo on them, but they're more of a teal. I don't know. It kind of looks black on the screen, but this is the newer one. So we get those out as we're out in community spaces. Again, just trying to connect with community in whatever way we can. So if you see us, hit us up. We have some.
Yeah, I have one. As a matter of fact, I'm going to unblur my bookcase background here. I have one right up there.
Oh, well, you have two.
Easy, Haley. Yes, I do. I have a hoodie, too. Don't tell anyone.
Hey, but it's like, you know, people, the more that you see, the more other people that see MMIR and those letters next to each other, the more questions that people have. And it just really opens up an opportunity to have that conversation and kind of educate, you know, more people around this epidemic.
Who designed the logo? Because I've told you this many times when I've seen you. I love that logo. That logo is awesome.
Yeah, it was Big Spirit who did the design. And, like, we were super intentional. Our director was awesome. Like, if you notice, and, like, the braid, they have, like, even the person is, like, we wanted to make it sure it was, like, kind of gender neutral because we wanted to represent all of our relatives, that they have some teal in the braid to represent domestic violence. And, of course, the traditional, like, red hand over the mouth to represent the silencing of our communities when it comes to you know, MMIR and just kind of the silencing of our people. So really intentional, and love the design, and it's nice to see it out and about. If it's on a sweatshirt or on a license plate, it's cool to see out and about.
Yeah. So what does the green represent in the hair, in the braid?
The green was supposed to be more teal. So like that domestic violence, because of the lateral violence that happens in our community. And so that was the thought behind that, to represent that. And that's why we went with that kind of teal too for this year's bandana. So super excited to how it turned out. And yeah. I see other people having stickers with it on now, and you know, just doing different things. So it's nice to see that representation out in the community.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, we talk about this a lot, and how we can amplify MMIR epidemic. And I just want to say it's an epidemic. And, you know, we run into, you know, the national news that, you know, we're really sad that this blonde-haired, blue-eyed young woman or person has gone abandoned, but the amount of coverage compared to what we get, it's so good to have this organization in our state to really put some teeth into looking for our people.
Yeah, I was doing a presentation this morning at the Rotary Club out in Prior Lake, and I was like, you know, who has heard of Gabby Petito? Everybody, hands raised. I'm like, have you heard of Nevaeh Kingbird or Jeremy Jourdain or Sheila St. Clair or Kateri Michaud out of Minneapolis? Have you heard of those names? And everyone's like, nope. So I mean, just like they were asking why isn't that coverage available? And I'm like, let's discuss that. What do y'all think? And they're like, try not to call it always out, but you know, they got to that conclusion too. The root causes of MMIR include racism, historical trauma, colonization, sexism, and the sexual objectification of our women and girls. So as we talk about why we're not present in the media, those are your answers, as those root causes is why we're not represented. So that was a really good discussion out there and Prior Lake this morning.
Yeah, you know, the sexualization of Native Americans, whether it's in the movies or in print that I grew up with, makes us unhuman and or non-human. And that's why it's good to talk about, you know, there's different tribes, there's different way people look, but we're all, you know, native to this land. One of the things that we talked about before, which really blew my mind when I started finding out and educating myself about this, there was a talk, I do believe it was in downtown St. Paul, with some survivors, and the issue at Lake Superior in Duluth, that blew my mind, and not being brought up over there, I never even had that on my radar.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we talk about like what some of those risk factors are. So we have the root causes, but then what are those symptoms? What does that look like? And that, you know, for part of that, you know, those symptoms include things like human trafficking. That's the sick. Those are the outcomes of what historical trauma has left behind. That's what we see, whether it's substance use, human trafficking, poverty, homelessness, having our relatives unhoused. Those are the end results of what, you know, what that comes out. And so with Duluth being a port city and just having that easy access in and out of the country, that became for a time, you know, one of the hotspots for human trafficking. And I think that has changed a little bit about where we're seeing those hotspots as it relates to human trafficking. But yeah, it's something to always be aware of. And, you know, that we talk to our young people about, what's going on in the community, so they're aware and maintains safety. So good conversations to have with young people.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. You know, I just want to, before we take a break, we're here with Anna Negrete, community planner for the Minnesota MMIR State Office, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And, you know, we're having a serious conversation here about things, but also we have a lot of joy in having this in the office here and as a real thing. And so we want to amplify that. And heck, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Park Fire is California's largest so far this year. It's destroyed at least 134 buildings in Butte and Tehama counties. ABC's Jacqueline Lee has more.
The hardest hit towns, including Cohasset and Forest Ranch, a haunting reminder for Jen Robbins, who lost it all in the 2018 Camp Fire in the nearby town of Paradise.
Yeah, we lost our home, vehicles.
Officials arrested 42-year-old Ronnie Dean Stout for suspected arson. He's expected to be arraigned on Monday, where he will face charges.
In Paris, the U.S. is its first medal at the Olympics. Cassidy Cook, Sarah Bacon won silver in the 3-meter springboard synchronized diving. The Justice Department, in a new court filing, claims TikTok collected user views on sensitive topics. It's part of the ongoing legal battle as President Biden signed a law that could ban TikTok in the U.S. unless it breaks ties with its Chinese parent company. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Jordan Love has a new contract. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Jordan Love has agreed to terms with the Green Bay Packers on a contract making him the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. 4 years, $222 million, and a record-high signing bonus of $75 million, $155 million in guaranteed cash. The deal in Green Bay came down just hours after Love's agency, Athletes First, had completed a deal for Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, setting the bar for Jordan Love's contract. Brian Gutekunst.
He's our franchise quarterback, and we're ready to move forward. It's not like we're trying to make that decision. But at the same time, we want to put the best team around him we can. There's certainly the structure of it so that we can do what we need to do for our football team moving forward, not only this year, but years to come. So we got a lot of work to do. You know, we think we have a very good football team, but we got to come together as a team, and he's a big part of that. So him being out there is important for us.
Baseball, the Brewers losing at home last night to the Miami Marlins, 6-2. They'll play again tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, sunshine, mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 68. Partly sunny and back to around 85 for Sunday. An afternoon shower possible. A few showers Sunday night, a low around 70. Partly sunny and 85 Monday with a chance of afternoon storms.
It's 60 at our studios.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and this is your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about using coupons to save on prescription drugs. Pharmaceutical coupons are different than coupons at, say, the grocery store. I am not talking about saving you 50 cents on a box of mac and cheese. It is common for pharmaceutical coupons to save you as much as 80% on the drugs that you need. I mean, this could be hundreds of dollars. So how do you find them? Well, you start with the websites GoodRx and SingleCare. Those are services that focus exclusively on prescription coupons. Now, you should also ask your doctor and at the pharmacy counter about manufacturers' coupons or programs. But you have to ask. Sometimes the pharmacy has a sign-up program direct with the manufacturer, but you can't find it online, and they aren't allowed to tell you about it unless you ask. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. And stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here and with our good friend Anna Negrete, a community planner for the Minnesota MMI, our state office, and we are really excited to be on. I know with billboards and things like that, there's new cases, but there's also cases that have been happened a long time ago that we don't want to forget, right? Oops, you're on mute.
There you go. I don't know how many times we've heard that over COVID times, right? We start talking. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things with our office, you know, being relatively new. We've been in the office for 2.5 years now. We're still playing catch up. And so we have some work to do and community still learning about what we do and what we can offer, what types of support we can offer. So I think right now our oldest case is about 40 years old. And, you know, that's one of the cases that's highlighted on the billboards up in the Twin Cities. To be clear, there's two in Minneapolis. I want to say there's one in Burnsville, Moundsview, Shoreview, Maplewood, and Columbus Township. So I'll be looking for those. But yeah, it's just been great to, you know, connect with some of those folks that have those resources to support us and highlight that, you know, what our families are going through and let them know that, you know, they're not forgotten. You know, that's what in talking to one of the families recently, they're like, it's so nice to see those up because it lets me know that I'm not the only one looking for my brother, my sister, my loved one. And so it's been awesome to kind of give them that spark of hope and feeling that they're not alone anymore. So super thankful for those partnerships.
Well, it's crazy because like we have the opportunity on February 14th to hear these stories live. I can't imagine how do you take care of your mental health? Because those stories keep coming daily, and not only the 40-year-old ones, but the daily ones. And we as Facebook people see people disappearing all the time.
That's a really great question. I mean, I'm fortunate to be connected with my indigenous roots and, you know, do ceremony smudge down when I need to. And, you know, also I have a great support system where we, you know, where I'm allowed to laugh too as part of my healing. And so in the depths of kind of all the dark things and heavy things that we do, I'm thankful to have that laughter too, just because that gets me through when other things can't. So super appreciative of that support, and you have to build that. So
yeah, it is. And you do have to have support, and you do have to be able to talk to people that are going through. I know it's fun. It's funny too, in a different sense here with news and also being so dark when we started the show 8 years ago with first Dakota Access Pipeline and then the Trump administration and things like that, that we have to talk to each other and talk to our relatives about where we're at and how we're feeling. So we talk about that, how important it is here all the time. And I'm glad you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have the support of the office, and they really allow us to do and take care of those things and make sure that they bring that up as a priority. You know, we get to have fun times too, being out in community. We get to go out and present. I was up in my new coworker and I, actually our office expanded a little bit. We had some transition. We have a new intelligence specialist, Taylor Lampert, Taylor Wenzel, sorry. And she and I went up to Canada and connected with some relatives up there and talked about human trafficking and how we're dealing with MMIR here in Minnesota. So she's a new addition to our office. I think she came on in April. And then we also have Deanna Bolio joining our office as a victim specialist. And so she is working one-on-one with families too, as we get more cases and folks come into a space where they're asking for support. We now have a dedicated person to work with them and act as a liaison between law enforcement and the families or whatever they need as they go through these challenging times of being impacted by MMIR. So our office is growing a little bit. So it's nice to have that extra support. And like I said, just be out in community. We, you know, it's not always grim. We're out at Powell's, we're out, you know, just being in community spaces. That's always nice to see smiling faces. And, we have some balance in that, thankfully.
Well, you know, you always see me and I'm up there begging for free swag and you know how that is, but I appreciate it. We do have fun and have a lot of fun conversations too, for sure.
Yeah, we'll be out at National Night Out in a couple locations. I know our director will be down in her home community down in Lower Sioux. I'm going to be back in my hometown on the west side of St. Paul and their community down at Castile Park. I think we'll be, Deanna's heading over to the Minneapolis Urban Indian Center out that way. So she'll be in Minneapolis. I think we have some other folks in, that are heading to Leech Lake. So we'll be throughout the state just building that sense of community and can hit us up for some swag. I think we'll have these new bandanas out. Really trying to also prioritize safety. So we got those, we got a couple cases of these screeching alarms. So folks are out in community or places where they're feeling unsafe. You pull the pin and it makes a really loud sound. It has a little flashlight. We know that it's not preventative of all things, but we just, you know, wanted to do something to emphasize that safety and talk about that and open up discussion and community about the importance of being safe. And so we have some of those items as well as first aid kits and some other things that really just trying to reassure communities that we care and we're here and, you know, hit us up if they need support.
Yeah, that's really important. And I think I did see those screech things last time I saw you, and that's a great idea. You know, it'll get people's attention and also get the conversation going, because it's an interesting thing, because, you know, as we get together as community, we have a lot of fun, but this is also a very important and serious thing. And again, for me, it's heart-wrenching to hear a lot of these families and what they're
I know I have a wall here at my house of the, some of the cases that I work, and then that you know, as you hear them, it keeps me motivated, and I have their posters and their faces on the wall. So I'm looking at them every day, reminded. It's not just a name, or it's not just a case. It's this is a family, and these are the stories, and I'm blessed that they trust me enough to share with me some of their, you know, just really that deep, very personal stuff. But that keeps me motivated to ask for billboards, motivated to go out and speak and raise awareness. I'm super fortunate. I'm so thankful to be in the position I'm at with MMIR.
Yeah. What I always like to talk to our guests about is a call to action, and how can our listeners out there support you and support your work? And, you know, there's, of course, information, but how can they support you? And, of course, there's the license plates easy for people to support you. But is there a direct line, too, on how we can support this action?
Yeah, of course, like the license plate, and they can actually donate directly to the reward fund board, you know, without getting license plates, if that's not their thing. But also, you know, sharing posts, talking about it, referring relatives if you see posts, social media posts online about somebody missing, direct them to our office, let them know that there is support out there. Because I think that even though we've been around for, you know, 2 years, and now I'm a little bit over a year now into the office, or my work in the office, but people still don't know that we exist and what we have to offer. So just, you know, send them our way, let them know that they can reach out to us. We do our best to be responsive. Also, when there's a call to search for relatives, show up. I know it's not easy, or the task isn't easy to come out to take time off. But even if it's a couple hours or something as simple as handing out posters, you know, show up, talk about it, say their names, don't be afraid to offer support to families. I think sometimes we're afraid when relatives go through grief, we don't know what to say, or we may not have the right words. And so we don't say anything out at all. And so just encourage relatives to, you know, let families know that you're there, that you support them, that you're part of community, and that you see them and that you remember their loved ones with them. So, I mean, those are some kind of simple ways to be a good relative, I would say. So,
yeah, definitely. And that we want to be a good relative. And I'm just really, really happy. And I can't believe it's already been 2 years that this has been going on, because I know State Senator Mary Kunis tried to get it through 3 years ago in an ominous bill. And then it had both sides of the aisle were supporting this. And that's really good to hear, and really heartwarming that, you know, we live in a great state here.
Yeah, we're really fortunate. As other states look to us about, you know, how they can replicate what we're doing here in Minnesota, we tell them you need a champion. You need to connect with folks that have and can amplify those voices. And so that's the message that we brought to Winnipeg. And that's what we tell others who are reaching out. There's going to be a national convening in Arizona coming up in October, where folks that are addressing MMIR or MMIP or MMIW, whatever they call it in their state, get together and talk about the lessons that they've learned, what's going well, what are our common challenges. And so be the first time that we're getting together as folks that address that. So we're excited about that. And, you know, thankful to, again, that Minnesota has, the people of Minnesota and Minnesota has said this is important. We're going to put this in office and to show some leadership on what other communities can do and talk about our lessons learned. So,
yeah, that's exciting. And it's also proud to be a Minnesotan. And I know our community is very mobile. Dakotas, Wisconsin, and Iowa come back and forth. But, you know, we're proud here, the people that are living in Minnesota, of our politicians doing right for us.
Yeah, I agree. And Senator Kunis has been awesome with us, and Lieutenant Governor has come out in support, and it's just nice to have that backing. Now, somebody was asking in the chat where our state offices were located in downtown St. Paul, but we're fortunate to work remotely and can be where the need is. And so we're all over the state. Our main office is there, but we work wherever needed. So thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to see you, and we love promoting your work, and it's just, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break with who, Haley?
Angela Two Stars of NACTI and All My Relations Arts.
Right on. You passed the test. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
Hey, we're really happy to have Angela Two Stars, director of All My Relations Art with Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we have a new exhibit coming up here. Great to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's nice to see you guys.
Right on. Hey, how did that last showing go? I was really, Frank Buffalo Hyde shows wrapping up the alternative at All My Relations. That was just an awesome exhibit.
It was. Yeah, it was so fun to have Frank's work and to introduce, you know, his work to the Twin Cities. It's been wonderful to have a show up, and we're really grateful that he allowed us to extend it for a little bit because we had an event in the gallery. So we got to have some, you know, that eye candy up for people to come in to see what we're about and see who we're supporting and get that artist work out there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, I'm a hanger honor, as you know, Angela, you know, and I beg for food and things like that, as you know, in your office. But it's always exciting to be there and watch people, whether they're grabbing a cup of coffee or just coming through the town to check out the gallery.
Yeah, I think it's something that is always changing. And so people coming in, you know, they get to see new art, new artists, and all of the art is, you know, it's a reflection of Native people and our different stories and history and contemporary experiences. And so when our community comes in, you know, they see themselves reflected in the work. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. So what do we have next? What's coming up next? I can't wait.
Yeah, we have a new exhibition opening on August 1st. It's by Jennifer White. It's called Arikara Proper. And Jennifer actually owns the Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so she's having a solo exhibition at All My Relations. She's an Arikara artist. She works with acrylics, and she's got paintings to share with our community. She depicts her Northern Plains culture, and she's just a really fun, vibrant, strong artist. I'm really looking forward to the community being able to come and see her work. Her paintings are beautiful. They're, you know, they really have a lot of meaning in them.
How do you guys pick an artist?
Well, you know, now that we're out of the pandemic, we can actually plan forward. So, you know, typically we like to have about 2 years of planning for exhibitions, and we like to do a range of solo exhibitions, group exhibitions. We like to have, you know, guest curators, you know, to kind of change things up. So it's not always like, you know, my preference or, you know, and Jennifer and I actually met in 2018 at the Indigenous Peoples Day Festival. She and I were both exhibiting artists. We had booths, and that October of that year was so cold. I completely was like not looking to sell any of my work. I was just focusing on staying warm. And she was right next to me, and we just had such a fun time getting to know each other. And, you know, so I always remembered, you know, her. And then our VP of development, John Williams, came from Sioux Falls. And so he had shared about Jennifer. And so as we were planning our calendar, I was looking for a solo artist. And we went to visit her last year and invited her to have a solo exhibition, All My Relations. And she was very moved. And, you know, I think for me, it shows the impact that All My Relations has on artists, like, and their careers and opportunity that it provides. So that's very meaningful. And I really take that very seriously, that we're able to offer this for artists and to be able to share their work, you know, with our community.
Well, that's a really, really good point. And I wanted to ask you real quick about your art and how people can see your art. And do you have a Facebook or do you have it hanging? What about your art?
Goodness, I actually just closed. I myself had a solo exhibition at the Great Plains Art Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh.
That just closed days ago. So I'm going to be heading down there to pick up my work. But yeah, it's something, you know, as a solo artist, you have that responsibility to fill the whole gallery. And so that's one thing, like when we host solo artists at All My Relations, it's that recognition that they are carrying the whole weight of the show. You know, they're showcasing who they are as artists, and they have to fill the entire gallery with their work. So that's a lot of art that they have to create, and it's a responsibility, you know, for these artists. And having a solo show is a really big deal for artists, especially, you know, at All My Relations, to be able to have a solo exhibition, because it's not something that comes, you know, like frequently, you know, in like the larger art institutions. So that's one of the things why we want to have specific solo exhibitions for artists in our space.
Well, you do. And Haley, I it's never been a disappointment when we go in there.
Oh, no, thank
never.
You.
It's thank you. Forever changing, and they have, you know, you guys really pick great artists. And I want to mention too, in Frank's last exhibition, his artwork and his pieces were phenomenal, but also just the titles in which he titled his pieces, I know, held some weight to him too. So it's really cool to see how artists kind of put their own little take on their solo exhibitions.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I had a cousin visiting from the reservation from my hometown just yesterday, and I showed her, you know, some of my public art pieces in the community, and it was explaining the concepts behind my work. And she was commenting about how without having me there to explain those things, like she wouldn't have known, you know, kind of like that depth and that those concepts that the artists incorporate into their work. So it's always really fun when you can meet with the artists one-on-one and hear their, you know, reasons behind how they created their work or their titles. Jennifer is actually going to be in town next weekend. We have our opening on August 3rd, and it's going to be a fun time. We have a food truck. We've got music. We've got the Black Widows that are going to be playing at 7 o'clock. And Jennifer is just such good energy. She's such a fun person to be around. So I would want to encourage everybody to come out to meet her, because she's a really cool lady. And it's going to be really fun to show her work, because it's just beautiful. Like, very passionate, expressive work that she does.
Well, how can people, is there tickets for that? Because I know when we did our reading, our Ho-Chunk reading, we had to close the doors. There were so many people there. So
there was. Yeah. Well, our opening reception, you know, it runs from 6 until 9. So it's kind of an open door, revolving door that people can come in. And then we have everything outside too. So like the food truck will be outside. So we'll have tables set up. The band will be outside. So it's nice to have kind of like just a summer party. Hopefully the weather, you know, is cooperative, and then people can go in to spend some time with Jennifer's work. And so, you know, they get a ticket to get themselves an Indian taco or something from Bob's truck. Hopefully we have Bob, because he's a busy guy these days.
Yeah. Well, and I've been mentioning the fact, too, that I've been at other events, and I go, well, who catered this? And a lot of times Bob's been out and about with not only the truck, but just all his other recipes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually going to be hosting the awardee for the 3rd annual Jim Denemy Memorial Scholarship. We're going to be having a dinner for him and his family next month. So Bob is on the docket to cater that meal, because it's always a good food from Bob.
Well, Angela, quick address and the dates.
Yes, All My Relations is at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And the exhibition opens on Thursday, August 1st. Our opening reception, where everybody needs to come down and come out, is on August 3rd, and it's from 6 until 9. And there'll be food and fun and music and Jennifer White. So, yep, Arikara proper.
Wow, big Pinigigi for coming on. I really appreciate you and appreciate all the work you do.
Thank you guys for having me.
Right on. Hey, we're still here. We are the 7th generation. This is Native Roots Radio.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. the president ends his reelection campaign.
And the civic media team led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, "I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down."
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Park Fire burning in Northern California has triggered air quality alerts for at least six western states. Fires burned more than 300,000 acres, and evacuees in Chico say having a pet makes evacuating more stressful.
Very worried. I want to go home right now, but those things can be replaced. Lives can't. Pets can't.
In France, work continues on high-speed rail lines that were the target of coordinated arson attacks Friday, the first day of the summer election.